I ask you, do you worry? Well, I know I worry sometimes, so I suspect you also worry. We all worry, but guess what? We don't need to worry. We need to know that worry is a sin, okay? It is a sin. It's not just a little weakness that we put up with. Worry is the opposite of faith. It's a type of unbelief. So we need to get a good hold on this subject of worry, or as it is called in other translations, anxiety. Now, worry can be a very serious problem. I mean the ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The smart worry because they know too much. The rich worry because of what they could lose. The poor worry because of what they don't have. The old worry because they're facing the grave. The young worry because they're facing an uncertain future. So, no matter what category you find yourself in, there's plenty of stuff to worry about. But you've got to hear the words of our Lord, therefore, do not worry. When he says those words, loud and clear in our text, he's not saying we shouldn't have some real concern about the future. He's not saying you can live a frivolous, carefree life about tomorrow. No, in fact, you know what? The Bible points us to the ant and says you can learn a very important lesson from the ant who works hard in the summer. As we well know, the ant is working so very hard, and she prepares for the cold winter that is to come. So also we. If we don't prepare and plan for the future, it can come down on us big time. But the Bible keeps saying to us again and again, plan for the future, think about the future, care for the future, but do not worry. Okay, well, what are some of the things we worry about? The Lord Jesus in our text lists quite a few things. He begins by saying, don't worry about food. Now, you may not be worried about food, but there's a lot of people around the world who are. But here's the Lord's logic. He says, if Almighty God cares for and feeds the birds of the air, you are much more valuable than many birds. Will he not also care for you and feed you? Now, he's not saying that you don't need to work and plan for that future and that food. Just remember about the birds. God doesn't throw the food into their nest. They must go out and work for it. And remember, it's the early bird that catches the worm. So it's that bird who gets up and out there the first in the morning who's going to get the best of the abundance of food that's there. We are not to worry about food, but the Lord is telling us we also need to work and plan for the future. Then he says, and don't worry about clothing, for look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. And look at the flowers, how beautiful they are. Why, even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. But the flowers, as beautiful as they are here today and gone tomorrow. And the logic is, if the Lord clothes the flowers, will he not also clothe you and care for you? And then the Lord says, don't worry about health. By worrying, you can't make yourself any taller, and you can't even make yourself live 1 week longer by worrying. Now, the Lord is not saying we all should not practice, you know, good health habits and exercise and eat right and so on and so forth. But he is saying worry won't lengthen your life. If you worry, You can worry yourself to death, but you won't lengthen your life. And then he says also, don't worry about the future. Again, he's not speaking about having a concern and preparation for the things that lie ahead. He's just saying that we have no control over the future, and that we are not to worry about those things over which we have no control. In fact, do you know this? Most of the things we worry about never really do happen. That's true. And I'm sure you've seen that before, that statement. So worry is a waste of time. It's a futile effort when we worry. Why get stewed up over things that generally never happen? Look at it this way. Our lives are divided up into two categories. All of us have lives divided up into two categories. The one category is those things we can do something about. The other category are those things we have no control over. So for that category in which we have control over these things and we can do something about, we should go ahead and do something about that and make our life better and improve the situation as best we can with the time, talents, and treasure that the Lord gives to us. But for those things we have no control over, worry will not help you. It will harm you. It will cost you in the end very dearly. Bible is quite clear, as well as the medical profession, that tells us worry will harm you physically, mentally, and spiritually. Worry is like sand in machinery. It'll slowly wear you down and wear you out. Did you know that worry is contagious? If you have someone in the church or in your home who's a worry wart, you tend to make other people into worry warts. And that's not good, to be filled with gloom and doom and what's going to happen next. But have you ever thought of this? That worry is something that really hurts God. It's an insult to Almighty God when you and I worry. Because worry is a way of saying, God, I don't know if your promises hold any water. Here I am with this trouble, and I don't think you can love me, and you don't care about me. And the Lord Jesus looks at us and says, when you worry, you're acting just like a pagan, like an unbeliever who has no full trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says to us, as well as he said to the people back then, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Where is your faith? Well, we know that worries abound, and that worry will cost us greatly if we continue to do so. But let's talk about the cure. That's what we need, the cure for worry. And Jesus gives us the cure as he goes on in the text and says, your heavenly Father, isn't that great? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. That's what he says. He knows what you need. If your heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son into this world to be your Savior, to suffer and die for all your sins, and to enable you to be forgiven, which is so wonderful to hear the words of forgiveness, and to have the assurance of heaven. If he's done all that, don't you think he's going to care for you in the other matters of life? So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, look, your heavenly Father knows everything. He knows everything that's happening in your life. And he says that he loves you completely, and he cares about you intensely. You are his child. Therefore, trust him. He's in control. Trust him with all your heart and learn. Learn to commit every trouble to the Lord in prayer. When you are tempted to worry, you've got to say, Lord, you're in charge. I know you love me, and please help me and give me the strength and power to get through this. And Lord, I just need you. I need you. And so you commit yourself to the Lord in prayer. You learn to pray every day in every way as you go through life. Trust in the Lord. And then Jesus says, if you really are interested in a cure for worry, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, there's the problem. We human beings tend to get our priorities mixed up. And we put this and this first, and God gets put in second or third. We don't eliminate God. He just gets pushed in at different places. And the Lord says, you can't do it that way. You've got to put me first. You take care of my business, then I'll take care of your business. But you cannot serve God and mammon and think it's all going to work out. You put me first, he says, and then I'll take care of those things that are bothering you. But what do? We go ahead of God. We put these other things first and get our priorities all mixed up and squeeze him in where we think he can fit, and we bollocks up the whole situation. The Lord goes on to say, therefore, do not worry. If God is in charge and you seek him first, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When you worry about the future, you're adding troubles to the present. Okay? The Lord says you have enough concerns today. When you worry about what's going to happen when I get old, what's going to happen here and there, you are bringing burdens from the future into the present, and you double the load that you have to carry. The Lord instead says, cast all your cares on me. I care for you. But he never has promised us, by the way, that our life will be free from trouble. In fact, the Lord has said, listen to me, the Lord has said, he will allow certain troubles to come into our lives because he loves us. And you say, you got to be kidding, Pastor. If he loves me, why do these things happen? It's precisely because he does love you that he allows these things to happen. If you had no trouble in life, the Bible is clear on this, that you and I would drift far from God. We would be so full of pride and look what I've done and be so self-confident and independent that we might drift away from him forever and lose it all. But the Bible says you live in a sinful world, and in this sinful world, there's all sorts of trouble. Be of good cheer, he says, I've overcome this world, so we trust in him. But the trouble is there, and that makes us rely on him more. We know that there's danger around most any corner, so we need you, Lord. We need to draw close to you. That's the only sensible thing a child of God will do. When you understand what this world is really like, and the devil who is working his ways and wanting to rob us of our faith, we need to live close to the Lord every day. So, the Lord has not promised that there will be the elimination of trouble, but he wants us to depend upon him so that we're ready when trouble comes. If all there was sunshine, then there would be nothing but desert. And if there's nothing but sunshine in your life and mine without any storms or clouds, our life would turn into a spiritual desert. God allows the troubles to remind us we're only temporarily here on this earth. This earth is not our home. We need to trust in him all the way to make it through. And he has promised his grace and blessing as we go through this life. But he has said to us, now listen, he has said, worry won't solve your problems. Worry will wear you down. Worry will obscure the grace and love of God and how much He loves you and cares for you. Worry will rob you of your joy, and it will steal your health. Therefore, what are we to do but live boldly with full trust in your heavenly Father? That's where it all leads. And remember, the only way you can call God as your Father is have a sincere and living faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember what the Bible says. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become a child of the Heavenly Father? By faith in Christ Jesus. So I ask you, how are you doing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your God and your Lord and your Savior? Is He the one who paid the supreme price for all your sins with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death? Is He the one who promises He'll be with you always? Yes, He does love you. He will watch over you. He will be with you. He does care for you. You've got to know that with all your heart. And so you want to give your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with Him and talk with Him each day, every day. And ask Him to forgive you all your sins, also for the sin of worry. And ask Him also to guide you through this maze called earth until we're safely with the Lord in heaven. Okay, that's the goal, heaven. Don't miss out on heaven. And it's all by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. By faith in the Lord Jesus, you can call God your heavenly Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have such a great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who says to you today, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. And so we can live boldly with full faith in our great God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.